afternoon. Today is Wednesday, May the 21st, 151st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. How you doing?
Doing great, Brian. How are you?
Okay. Is the political season playing out the way that you were thinking it would?
Nobody knows for certain at the beginning, but it's kind of following along the lines I thought. Yeah.
All right. So now she's a noted political expert, and we'll use that to our advantage also. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about safety tax, GMO, oh boy, oh boy. And a little bit of an insight on how various jurisdictions select or determine who gets some of the contracts that we see that are for services for those residents. So we've got a couple different things to bounce off of, and we'll do it when we come back.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from, oh boy, oh boy. I hope you are good on pronunciations. Who's that?
Desiderius Erasmus.
Do you recognize it?
Kinda.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It's like, is this a Greek guy? That's a great, great quote. War is delightful to those who have no experience of it. I would suggest,
that's a great one.
I would suggest, Estelle, that the same is also true for politics.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Which is probably just a mutant of war, but it's kind of similar in many regards.
Sometimes it can solve war. Sometimes it can lead us into them.
So as you see some of the gamesmanship, and I'll just say that, that's happening here locally with this, with the primary elections. Is there anything that's really kind of stuck in your craw? Or is it all pretty much the expected stuff? And okay, as long as anybody isn't bleeding too badly, this one's been okay.
Well, you know, I would say for the people involved in it, maybe not as much as for us on the outside. The thing that I would like to see is that things issues would resolve around real content, real facts. The thing that I don't like is people find a few talking points and they stick with them, and whether they're true or not. And I just find that it would be so much more helpful if there could be a real discussion of the issues sometimes.
Does that make for good politics, though?
Well, you know, first of all, at being elected, what you really what you have to learn is how to distill your message into a few words. The fewer, the better. Just because that's what people want to know. They want it. They want it drilled down. They want to know what you stand for, and so that is part of the job. Actually, is to get it into and keep it on message. But that being said, I think depending on that, you want the message to be, at least have some content.
Well, and entertaining also.
Well, yeah, well, that's
definitely. There was a great quote that the guy who was the, actually about the only thing that I agreed with at Stefan's graduation, he used a Mark Twain quote. Mm-hmm. Okay, of course, now immediately everybody's going, oh, this is going to be cool. And he was getting an award for something. He said, I've got a long speech and I've got the shortened version. Which do you prefer? And, of course, everybody, you know, the short. He said, thank you. He said, the long version, now that I've got all this time available, goes like this. Thank you very much. And I thought, yeah, how how right on for the political season. In Nebraska, their election was a week ago Tuesday. Mm-hmm. That was their primary. So they were just coming off of it, and we had a lot of the signs around, all that kind of gobbledygook. But it was intriguing that, boiled down to its essence, what is the essence?
Yeah, what is
And if you learn things, okay, then you change your message to incorporate that new information. But it doesn't seem as if a lot of times, either on the campaign trail or in the heat of the moment, during the meeting, et cetera, that there is a desire to get new information. You know, don't confuse me with the facts. During this process of electing, do you sense that that's more of what's going on? Don't confuse me. I finally got my lines right. Or is it dogma that just locks people in?
I'm not sure, Brian. I think, you know, what we're dealing with in elections is, you know, that most august of systems, which is that the people will elect you. You know, you're going to be representing them. They will elect you. So you've got to somehow or other establish that connection with people. We live in a world where everything is thrown at you in soundbite sections. So we're actually kind of trained to that. We're also living in a world where we're surrounded by advertisements and signs, etc. So that's another way to get in touch with people. You know, the same was true, obviously, in your business. People want to hear from people on the radio. They want to see them on TV. So it just generally speaking, I don't know if it is that people want the facts or not, but they certainly want to get a feel for who you are and how you will represent them, and then it's each candidate's choice as to how they're going to represent it. I just don't like it when people demonize others to try to sell themselves. I think sell yourself. Don't be pulling the other guy down.
Notice I haven't asked for any specifics on this. That's what commercial breaks are for.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, some of the different challenges that are out there, kind of what you were alluding to is content-driven. You know, do we understand what it is? Do we want the message? Do we care about the message? We're sharing a little bit with this GMO initiative. You know, I think most of us probably know it as Google. But it's something that's very, very sensitive to a thin slice of the population. And most of us kind of go, well, okay. We still kind of have some base faith in the FDA. And we're going to go, okay, the growth stuff, does it allow for food that's affordable? Does it allow for food that's unsafe? Where's there in between? We're paying for regulations. They're taking care of it. They wouldn't say it could be on the shelf if it wasn't safe. Okay. Why did you guys get involved with this? Rather than I see it as a marketing issue. Obviously, there's something I'm missing.
Well, first of all, what happened is that a segment of the community decided they wanted to pursue this initiative that would ban GMO organisms in Humboldt County, except under very restricted circumstances, which would be like at HSU where they're doing studying, etc. Their main aim, as voiced by them, is that they don't want genetically modified organisms that are specifically part of crops to pollute organic crops that are maybe being grown next door. So that's the main thing that they were talking about. It was heavy on the farmer side in terms of people giving their presentations. Of course, there's also
in favor of or in opposition to.
There were both.
So it was the dairy industry?
There were several people from the dairy industry there. There were people who actually are longtime farmers, dairymen, who may or may not be opposed to GMO, but saw the benefit in organic in that it brings in more money.
Now, that's marketing.
That's marketing.
That's not restrictive.
Yeah. And in fact, John Vivoda, who is a farmer, a dairyman out in the Ferndale area, put it, you know, let's not divide the farmers, because in fact the Farm Bureau is not taking a position here in Humboldt County, because there are some who are for the limitations and others who are against the limitations. The way John Vivoda put it was, let's not pit one farmer against the other, and he also objected to the idea of having more regulations. Our task at yesterday's hearing was basically, or yesterday's meeting was basically to decide whether or not we were going to fly it up the flag and say that we were establishing this ordinance, or were we going to let it go to the voters, because it went out there as an initiative gathering signatures so that it could get on the November ballot. We opted to say, you got enough signatures, let's put it on the ballot and see what everybody says. I think that was the prudent way to go.
So what is the definition of genetically modified? I'm thinking of some of the corns, the grass, the crops
mm-hmm.
that are far more productive now than what they were in their natural state. Mm-hmm. The size of the population that is being fed mm-hmm. that could not be fed otherwise. The percent that are able to afford that could not otherwise afford because of the scarcity demand mm-hmm. basic equation. I mean, I'm seeing those types of things that are out there. Am I being Pollyannish?
No, I think, you know, the people are, somebody pointed out at the meeting that people are very passionate on both ends of the spectrum here. People who do not want to see the crops genetically modified, and people who think that that is the answer to some of the big looming questions in an ever-expanding population on Earth, etc.
Haven't they already been modified? I mean, how do you take a cow that's producing milk and make it unproduce milk?
Well,
and
no,
still have a business model that's viable.
I think they're talking about crops. They're talking about silage. For instance, in Humboldt County, the people who do grow genetically modified corn, wheat, they're doing it because it's very difficult to produce in this region. This is not a typical feedlot for...
This is not an ag area.
Yeah. And so the people who are doing that are doing it so that they can produce the best crop that they can. There are studies being made as to whether or not there are other seeds that can be grown that would produce the same should this initiative pass. But that's one part of it. The other part of it is there's an actual scientific definition of what a genetically modified organism is, and it's something where you introduce an organism from whatever entity that would not normally have crossed with that
plant.
So
it's not hybrids and things of that nature.
No. So it's say, for instance, it's
so Burbank is safe.
This is those guys, all that stuff, all those. So the bottom line is, it would be crops that are genetically modified to deal with different conditions.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, in the last segment before the news break, we were talking about GMOs and the initiative that you guys are, I guess, have allowed to be on the ballot?
Well,
determined that that was the best way?
We determined that was the best
way. We'll be appearing in the future on the ballot.
Yes, it will be in the November ballot because enough signatures were gathered.
And what I'm hearing you talk when you're saying genetically modified organisms, is that the marijuana industry is probably the one that's been the most aggressive, the most egregious, the most benefited from this whole thing. And oftentimes the illegal is not incorporated in the discussions at all for obvious reasons.
Well, I don't
so
think...
So when we look at the marijuana mm-hmm. that was when I was younger mm-hmm. versus the marijuana that is today, oh, yeah, these things are way different, way over the top, and things are continue to have that artificially high potency. Is that the kind of stuff that is referenced by this, or are we talking something entirely different?
No, way, way more futuristic. So what you're seeing in the marijuana industry that has happened over the time, and you're absolutely right, Brian, it's become far more potent than it was 20 or 30 years ago, and that is with hybridization, et cetera, mixing seeds, but it's not cross, what's the word I want to use? Species. So in other words, they're not mixing pigs with marijuana. They're just mixing marijuana with marijuana. And that's a traditional way of improving your crop. The same thing could be said, for instance, even with livestock or with dogs. Some of the dogs we see today are the product of massive genetic manipulation, but not cross species per se. So genetic modification has a scientific description, which I don't have in front of me. It's very scientific, but it basically is where you're injecting it through the DNA from a species that would not normally cross-pollinate with one another.
It would
another.
Not be surviving.
Right. So, for instance, one of the big genetic modifications of crops is to make them less or more resistant to pesticides, so that if you've got weeds, et cetera, whatever the thought was, if the crop is resistant to pesticides, you can spray the pesticides to get rid of the weeds and you won't damage the crop. So that's a genetic manipulation that makes that crop more resistant to pesticides. People's concerns were, well, that means there'll be more prolific use of pesticides. One of the farmers who came in said, that's not true. There's actually less. So that was an issue that I thought.
So it's not the plant itself. It's surrounding issues.
Yeah, and so...
Well, that's almost like mislabeling, isn't it?
Well, there are other genetic modifications would say that this crop, which normally would not do well in this climate, can do well because of the genetic manipulation. And I think there are several concerns. So bottom line, I think, what I heard very clearly from the people who presented at the meeting was that you do have conflicting claims from both sides of this argument, and some of them are very exaggerated on both sides.
So we don't have a base reference to...
Well, we do, actually.
To make... not the argument, but the discussion mm-hmm. to start from, because everybody's going to be bringing...
Well, you do have a base reference
as
to how can you control people.
Exactly. Behavior modification or legislation. I mean, the state has proven that that doesn't work out real well, right?
Yeah, right. It's very interesting. You know, a point in terms of the crops, and I do want to make a point that it isn't just related to crops, but that's what we're going to be hearing most of the discussion about. The point being made by the people who floated the initiative, and it's a pretty sympathetic point from the point of view of Humboldt County's in economy. Organic producers of crops cannot be certified organic if pollination from genetically modified crops floats into their field, and how do you stop that?
So if your field does,
if
my
I'm
field
growing,
doesn't,
yeah,
and we're adjacent,
yeah, I could,
I can't, one of us can't
you
be
can't
certified,
right? If I'm growing GMO and you're growing organic, you may not be certified organic if there's a possibility that the pollen from my plants flow over into your field.
So if we do that on a county basis,
mm-hmm.
how does that prevent it coming over the county line? Or if a state can do it, how does it prevent it coming over the state?
Well, there's certain, there's miles. Okay, so for it can be transmitted by bees, I think, over 1 mile, and by just by the wind over 2 miles, or vice versa. I think those were two of the issues that were brought up. So there's that.
It sounds like it's a general plan issue more than it is philosophical or a political.
Well, it certainly goes to land use, but it goes to ag as well. And in fact, the proposed initiative would be complaint-based. So in other words, a neighbor could say, I think Brian is growing GMO, but, or Estelle, interestingly, the ag commissioner who would be tasked with overseeing this says there is no mechanism or no requirement for anybody to go in and tell him that they're growing GMO, so it will only be complaint-driven. There is no registry of who's growing GMO crops or not.
Let's say this thing passes.
Mm-hmm.
I've not heard from the supervisors who aren't running for office.
Mm-hmm.
In the last couple of months.
That's right.
That all of a sudden there's a surplus in the budget and that there are dollars available for enforcement that the ag commissioner is going to need, because I would think it would have to be two or three people and a whole bunch of either gear that would have to be purchased.
That was one of my issues, Brian. In fact, it was one of the reasons why I really wanted this to at least go to the voters so there can be more discussion. Because asking us to pass this ordinance without having had a say in how it would actually be enforced was a fairly long stretch, because I looked at it like you're asking the ag commissioner to oversee it, but you're basically talking about a code enforcement issue, and so this goes to abatement, and the abatement fund is already overtaxed. As we know, we've got burned out houses and burned out trailers still waiting to be abated. So where is this money coming from? And this was there was quite a bit of unease among the supervisors about that aspect of it, how it
how
would
about
be
those
funded.
Who were in the audience that were presenting and wanting the decision, had they thought of the dollars?
There was a very limited discussion of where funds might come from. But I tell you that the reality is that if it is passed, we cannot amend it. It will have to go to the voters to be amended.
Because it was passed by the voter. Is this a two-thirds, one-third, or is this a simple majority?
A simple majority.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the safety tax was something you indicated yesterday was discussed. Mm-hmm. Tax gets our attention.
Yes.
Safety gets our attention.
Yes.
Okay, what are we talking about here?
Well, okay, safety is obviously, as you know, probably the number one priority for the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors, and I would say the general public at large. And what we've run into is a situation where the Sheriff's Department is really hurting, and we can't help them beyond the budget that we already have. So what has been brought up by residents of the 5th District, Ryan Sunbird's district, McKinleyville area, and also of my district, is that they're not getting enough police coverage, and is there a way that we can find to fund it? So last week we brought that issue up, or we looked at that issue. This week it came back before us to get more specific. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and do some polling, and we narrowed that down to raising a general sales tax or a utility tax for the, and this would be all in the unincorporated areas. So the question is, do we want to do a utility tax in the unincorporated areas? Right now, the county does not have a utility arrangement with PG&E, for instance, as Eureka and Arcata do, and they both put in an excessive use tax.
So this is the excessive use rather than just a flat 0.01% kind of thing.
Right. So we'll be polling people, would they prefer, an across the board with the provision for an excessive use on top of that. So an across the board 1%, 0.5%, whatever, plus 45% if you go 600 percent over the baseline. That's one possibility. The other is, again, a sales tax for 0.75 of a cent, something like that. So we're trying it out. One of the big challenges, you talked about elections earlier. I'm glad we got to this point so that I can discuss what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a multiple of tax measures on the ballot for different municipalities. We got a lot of calls from Eureka, Fortuna, Rio Del, Blue Lake. They're all putting tax measures on their ballots. Will there be confusion then about this particular tax, which will actually only go in the unincorporated areas?
Well, undoubtedly, particularly because you guys are constrained. You can't do your advertising.
Absolutely.
For this. And I would imagine if you had any surplus from the fund last time, you can't spend it for this purpose.
No, we can't do.
We cross-pollinate, to use a phrase from an earlier segment.
Right. But there undoubtedly will be a citizens group that's set up. And then another question that came to us was, if we do this, will we set up a commission to decide how it's spent? Because clearly what the people are saying at this point anyhow is they'd be willing to pay a tax if they can be guaranteed they'll have more sheriffs and more patrols.
But that's the two-thirds.
But you can't do that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you can't
I remember the library thing.
Yeah.
Age has got to count for something. Well, that'll be interesting to see how the summer plays out.
Oh, I think it will be very interesting. I'm sure you'll be very busy.
Thanks for coming by. Gotta go. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Until then, go out making a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.